Okay, good evening. We are here. This year in the Parashat Vayakhel Pekudei, the last two parashiyot in the book of Shemot, is Li'ilui Nishmat, in honor of the departed soul of Shromit Bat Gershon Aleha L'Shalom. We're doing this share in a new format. Instead of live, we're doing it on Facebook Live, which is sort of a life. I'm not sure I always understand, but we're doing it on Facebook Live. So those of you who are connected to the share through Facebook, you have to get the sheet on your own. I can't get the sheet to you. It's impossible, especially since I am in jail here in my house, trying to avoid coming into conflict with an unseen enemy, although they've convinced me that it's real. Nevertheless, all I can do is stay here in the basement of my house, where I hope the enemy will not decide to enter. Let's review. There are five parashiyot at the end of the book of Shemot that have to do with Mishkan, that have to do with the building of the, in English it's called the tabernacle. But we mean a kind of a central religious place, the Mishkan. Five parshiyot: Truma and Tetzaveh, build the Mishkan, make the vessels. That's Truma and Tetzaveh, parshiyot 1 and 2. Parsha 3 is about Kitisa, is largely about building the Egel Hazahav, the golden calf, and its implications. And then again, Vayakhel Pekudei is again a restatement of the command to build a Mishkan, to build a Mishkan. Now all this time and space and psukim that are devoted to building the Mishkan, well, there must be a reason for all of that. There must be a purpose for all of these psukim and all this information and all this repetition. Remember, it spans five parshiyot, five Trumat, Tetzaveh, Kitisah, Vayakhel Pekudei, five parshiyot. An unlikely situation at best. It's hard to know what the relationship between Truma and Tetzaveh on the one hand and Vayakhel Pekudei on the other hand is. Nevertheless, there must be some relationship, because they bracket the golden calf, the story of the golden calf. So let's look at some psukim. If you have a sheet, we're in Perek Lamed Gimel, starting from Pasuk Aleph. If you don't have a sheet, but you do have a Chumash, which is a remarkable situation, if you have a Chumash, take your Chumash and look at Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Vaydeber Hashem el Moshe, lecha alei mizeh, ata v'ha'am asher aleitam eretz Mitzrayim. This takes place after the discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu about the punishment that Bnei Yisrael would suffer because they built the golden calf. Now, the result of that conversation is that somehow Bnei Yisrael are going to be excused, but not really. They're going to suffer the burden of the sin of the Egel HaZahav. This is the last pasuk in Perek Lamed Bet, right? Last pasuk came in Perek Lamed Bet, that they will B'yom pakdi upakadati, when B'nai Yisrael deserve to be punished, they will also be punished, this is Rashi's understanding, they will also be punished for the chayta egel, for the sin of the golden calf. So it comes, it stays with them, it's always with them. And even though they're not destroyed on the spot in the desert, they nevertheless are going to be punished throughout history for what they have done. I mean, you know, I'm not sure how you feel about it, but the fact that we are not able to daven in the minyan, that we're not able to go to shul, we're not able to do certain mitzvot, which we're sort of used to, we don't even think about it too much, is a kind of a punishment. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lech alei mizeh, go up from here, atah va'am asher leita me'eretz Mitzrayim, you and the people that you brought up from Mitzrayim, el ha'aretz asher nishbati l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov, le'mor l'zarecha etnena. So God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, let's go back, let's keep going, let's do what we're supposed to be doing. Let's go on to Eretz Kinaan. That's the pasuk. Veshalachti efanecha malach vegerashti et haKenani Amori Achivi Aperizi Achivi vaYebusi. So this is the part of the punishment. Veshalachti, the pasuk says, Veshalachti efanecha malach. Who is going to lead you? Who's going to bring you to Eretz Kinaan? Well, it's going to be a malach. Malach, of course, means not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not led by God, but led by an emissary of God. Now, it may not make a difference in terms of the final destination, but it certainly makes a difference in terms of the path, in terms of the way that you're going, in terms of the way that you lead yourself, in terms of the way you respond to whatever is going on, So that's Pasuk Bet, Pasuk Gimel, El Eretz Avat Chalav Udvash, Ki Lo La'aleh Bekir Becha, Ki Lo La'aleh Bekir Becha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I will not go up in your midst. I will not go up in your midst. Lo aleh bekir becha. Rashi, ki lo aleh bekir becha, lekach ani omer lecha. Therefore, I am saying to you now, pasuk bet, v'shelachti lefanecha malach. I will send an angel to lead you. So, the person who leads you makes all the difference. It makes all the difference as long as Moshe Rabbeinu is leading Bnei Yisrael. That's Yitziat Mitzrayim v'knisa l'Eretz Yisrael level A. But now there's going to be only level B, and only B'nai Yisrael understand that that's a punishment. You know, you go from A to B and you end up in exactly the same place, but you weren't traveling business. If you're not traveling business, you know that there's a difference. And when you get to wherever you're going, right, you have to kind of say, gee, it was okay, but it wasn't business. It wasn't business. So, Pasuk Dalid, Vayishma Amet Davar Harah Hazeh Vayitablu Velo Shatu Ish Ed Yo Alav. Ed Yo, Rashi says, is a word that means a crown. And when the Jews said Naaseh V'Nishma, they were crowned with these two crowns of Naaseh V'Nishma. So that there was this physical, sort of physical or spiritual crown that the Jews were wearing, which they now had to remove from themselves because of the Chayta Egel, because of the sin of the golden calf. That's what the pasuk says. Pasuk Hey Vayom Hashem El Moshe Amor B'nei Yisrael Atem Am Kshei Oref. I don't know, Pasuk Vav, Vayitnatzlu b'nei Yisrael et Yam mehar chorei, Vayitnatzlu. Rashi says, et Yam mehar chorei et adi, shehaya b'yadam mehar chorei, this jewelry that they had on them from the mountain of Chorev, where they received the Torah. Where they received the Torah, Pasuk Zayin, Moshe yikach et ha'ohel. Oh, this is the Pasuk that kind of ties things together. You know, here's B'nai Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to B'nai Yisrael, you know, you guys are in trouble. And that's not what it was originally designed to be. Business is canceled. You have to go economy. An angel will bring you to Eretz Canaan, and that'll be a constant reminder that what you did was unacceptable and that you still have to pay the price. You still have to pay the price. And so after that statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, the Pasuk says this, Moshe, Moshe, yikach et ha'ohel. Moshe took a tent, v'natalo michutz la'machaneh, and he set it up, he opened the tent, he set up the tent, he knocked in the pegs, michutz la'machaneh, harchek mina machaneh, far away from the camp, far away from the camp, Karalo Oel Moed. Karalo Oel Moed. What is this? What is this? Okay. Rashi says, Yikacheta Oel Ashon Hovehu. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. Lokeach Ohalo. Rashi, put the pasuk. I'm sorry. Pasuk Zayin, Moshe yikach et ha'ohel v'natalo mishchutz la'machane rechek min ha'machane. Karalo Oel Moed. Oel Moed, that's what the Mishkan is called. Vayakol Mevakesh Hashem, whoever looks for some connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'd say El Oel Moed Hashem Yichutz LaMachaneh. I mean, what is this? This is in the parasha of Ki Tisa, after the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu tries to recover and set up an ohel. He wants to set up an ohel someplace so that people can come and participate, even though there's been no Mishkan. Because the original command to make a Mishkan, Trumat Tetzaveh, must be in jeopardy somehow. And it's not until Vayakel Pekudei, that the Mishkan is reestablished. But in between those two times, right, the Truma Tetzaveh from Vav Sivan until Shivaso Betamuz, they built the golden calf. And having built the golden calf, apparently the expectation that there would still be a Beit HaMikdash, a Mishkan in the desert, had gone down tremendously, where they didn't expect it. I mean, why would they expect it? Why would they expect? And so Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'll build it. I'll build something. I'll build an Ohel Moed. I'll build a place where the pasuk says, "Vayaket Seit Moshe la Ohel Aslicha." Pasuk Zayin. Moshe yikach et Ohel v'netalo mechutz lamachane rechek min hamachane v'kara lo Ohel Moed. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Okay, here it is. Here's the Mishkan. I'm building it for you, Bnei Yisrael." Anyone who sought the presence of God, Yetze El Ol Moed, Asher Michutz La Machane, Asher Michutz La Machane, Pasuk Chet, Vayaketzeit Moshe El Oel, Yakumu Kol Ha'am V'Nitzvu Ishpetach O'alo, V'Ibitu Achrei Moshe Ad Bo Ha'oela. And it became an event. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol. He went into the Ohel Moed. Everybody stood around and was happy to see that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing that. It was a sign. It was a sign that the relationship that was desired between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which had been curtailed, that relationship had been curtailed or truncated. That relationship, Bnei Yisrael were no longer going to be led by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Eretz Yisrael, and that was the punishment that they had to bear, besides the other punishment that we mentioned, Biyom Pakdi or Pakadati, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish Bnei Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel forever. Forever. So now we're up to Pasuk Tet v'Yakov Moshe Oela Yered Amud Anan v'Mat Petach Ha'Ol v'Diber Moshe. So in fact, it happened. This Mishkan took place. It took place in the desert before the Mishkan was built. This was a kind of a poor man's Mishkan built by Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't have all of the vessels and all of the curtains and all of the posts and pillars. Didn't have all of that and all the beauty and all of the... But Vayakivo Kivo Moshe Ha'Oela Yered Amud HaAnan, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Ohel, Amud HaAnan, the pillar of Bikaralo Ol Moed, that's the first thing, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Chet. All the people stood up and stood in front of the opening of the tent. They watched Moshe Rabbeinu until he got to the Ohel. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to this, to the tent, Yered Amud HaAnan V'Amad Petach Ha'Ohel V'Diber Moshe. It was exactly what you'd expect from a Mishkan, from the Ohel Moed with the Baron Moshe. In other words, what was ultimately going to be, the Mishkan that was going to be built, would have at its center an Ohel Moed. And that Ohel Moed would be the place that Moshe Rabbeinu would have conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Specifically, the conversations were the Torah. The Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. I mean, maybe not the mitzvot, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu knew about the mitzvot, but the nusach, the formulation of the psukim and the parashiyot that were part of the Torah that was written down by Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert and passed on to the 12 tribes at the end of the 38 years sojourn in the desert. All of that took place in the Ohel Moed. And this is an Oel Moed. We don't know what it was that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about, but we know that it was an Oel Moed. The last pasuk that we're interested in, pasuk Yud Aleph, V'diber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu face to face, kasher yidaber ish ari'ehu, just as a person speaks with his fellow, v'shavel ha'machaneh, and then he went back to the machaneh, to reality, to reality. U'mishartol Yoshua benun nar lo yamish v'tocha oel, that's reality. That's really it. Right? So what was it? What was it that Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was doing? What was going on here with this Oel Moed? It's a parsha of contrasts. It's a difficult parsha, because on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs Bnei Yisrael that the sin of, we call Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, will remain. Even though they're not being punished, they're not being punished now fully, they're going to be allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, the burden of the sin of the golden calf remains. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response to that is putting up an ohel, setting up an ohel where the conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can continue. At least the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they all came around, all the people. All the people came around and they wanted to be part of it. They wanted to watch it. They wanted to see what was going on. That was their thing. That was what they wanted. That was what they wanted. So if we think to ourselves, I mean, in order to discover the secret to the mystery of the Oel Moed, I mean, the mystery of the tent that Moshe Rabbeinu built when he was in the Machaneh, in the camp, after the Chet HaEgel, we have to kind of think to ourselves about the general features of the Mishkan. In order to do that, I just bring two sources. The first is the Ramban at the beginning of Trumo, the well-known, famous Ramban, and the second is chapter 34 in the Tanya. Of the Tanya, basic, considered to be a fundamental, considered a Hasidic work. I'm not quoting it for that reason. I'm quoting it because of an insight that he has about the Mishkan. Let's look at the Ramban first. The Ramban said, V'soda Mishkan Hu. That's how he introduces what he's about to say. There's a secret, Sod HaMishkan, and you don't have to be a Kabbalist to know that what the Ramban is trying to say is that we have an obligation to understand what the Mishkan is really about, even though you know that at the time of the Ramban in the 12th century, there was no Mishkan. And there had been a Beit HaMikdash for over 1,000 years. And it didn't look as though there would be a Beit HaMikdash for another 1,000 years. I mean, at least we've passed that 1,000-year mark almost. So what was it that so much effort and enterprise and psukim, as we said in the beginning, what was it that so many psukim were telling us? I mean, if we don't really need it, I mean, you know, it's always that question we have when we think about it on Tisha B'Av. We think about it. It's okay. It's okay to think about things. I mean, if we can get along without the Beit HaMikdash, if we can act out our devotions to our Kodesh Baruch, if we can daven 3 times a day, and if Chazal tell us that this is in place of that, then the other thing is in place of the other thing, and somehow we're able to navigate our religious realities. We're able to navigate ourselves and our religious obligations, even though there is no Beit HaMikdash. Even though we can't bring the Korban Tamid. Okay, we hope to bring it. But right now we're not bringing it. I mean, I always say, I always ask, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish us in this way? After all, the Beit HaMikdash, the Korbanot, the Tfilot, are the source of repentance. They're the path to receiving, you know, compensation from heaven. So what is it that he says? Soda Mishkanu, Sheya Kavod Shachein Al Har Sinai, Shachein Alav Benistar. That somehow there's a relationship between the event of Har Sinai, which was an event that represented special closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shochein Alav V'Nistar, that somehow the Mishkan is an imitation. It's just like, and you know, I think we all know that Rabbeinu Bechaya points out that we don't have a holiday in the Torah that takes us to Har Sinai. You don't go to Har Sinai because Har Sinai comes with us wherever we go. Ukemoshe ne'amar sham ve'ishkon kvod Hashem al Har Sinai uchtiv. Hein heranu Hashem Elokeinu et kvodo et gadlo. Kein katuv b'mishkan. So you see, there's a certain similarity the way the Torah reflects upon Har Sinai and the Mishkan. The kvod Hashem Aleta Mishkan. V'iskir b'mishkan shnei pamim. Ukvod Hashem Aleta Mishkan. And it says twice in terms of the Mishkan that kvod Hashem, whatever that is, Malei et HaMishkan, Keneged et Kvodo v'et Gadlo, V'aya b'Mishkan tamid im Yisrael HaKavod, Shenir'eh lahem b'Har Sinai. So the Ramban offers us an insight. And he says, what's the Mishkan? What is the Mishkan? He says, the Mishkan is Har Sinai. It's Har Sinai, except that it's portable Har Sinai. You can take it with you, but it produces this notion that Kvod Hashem, that the glory of God rests upon Har Sinai. The glory of God rests upon Har Sinai. Okay. It doesn't help me understand why I can live without it, but it does help me understand why it was so important in the context of the story of Matan Torah. That the story of Matan Torah, the story of Matan Torah is the story of Har Sinai, Kavod Hashem, a special kind of relationship at the moment between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. All of that is true, and that will ultimately be transferred to the Beit HaMikdash. Ultimately, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built by Shlomo HaMelech in the order of things, in the order of things that are mentioned in the Torah. So Shlomo HaMelech looked in the Torah and said, oh, we got to make a Shulchan, we've got to make a menorah, we've got to make a Ketores, we've got to make all these things. And here is the way to do it. So there were, even though there was a hiatus when they came in between the time they came into Eretz Canaan and the time that the Beit HaMikdash was completed by Shlomo HaMelech, 440 years, nevertheless, there was an Aron Kodesh. There was some semblance of things that maintained us during that period of time. The time from the Yoshua Ben Nun entering the land until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash. But still, it doesn't help us to understand, I think, that it doesn't help us to understand what was going on after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. I mean, how could all these parshiyot in the Torah not mean anything, not connect to anything? How is that possible? Okay, let's look at the Tanya. Let's look at the Tanya. The Tanya is often a difficult work, but accessible. Accessible. You see on the second page, the Tanya, Perek Lamed Dalet. Hinei mudat zot, she'avot ein hein amerkava. That's what Chazal say. Ve'avot, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Harei Heim Amerkava. What's Amerkava? Amerkava is a
chariot.
What?
Chariot.
Miriam says it's a chariot. Well, what's a chariot? What's a chariot? A chariot here, I mean, it's a place. It designates a place. Even though if I would say to you, where is God located in the world? So you might say what the Kabbalah says, that God is all over the world, that is all in the world. There's no real limit of a place. However, Chazal say, Ein hein amerkava. They are the chariot. The chariot is in a place. It's not every place, but say a place. Shekol yimehem lo'olam lo hifsika afilu sha'ah achat milekasher da'atam v'nishmatam l'ribon ha'olamim v'bitul halal. So what is he, what is the, how does he explain it? What does it mean to say? What does it mean to say, hein, hein, amerkava? That they were always, the Avot, had a special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo yipsiku afilu sha'achat milekasher da'atam v'nishmatam l'ribon ha'olamim. V'bitul hanal, and that's like they were... there was nothing to them. There was only God. Lichado yitbarak, to see his oneness only, all the time. Bachrehem, and after the Avot, kol hanevi'im, kol echad lefi madregat nishmato v'asagato right? That after the Avot came the Nevi'im. Now the Nevi'im were not exactly on the level of the Avot, but they were on a special level. So according to their level, Achrayim kol haNevi'im, kol echad v'madrigat nishmato, v'hasegato, u'madrigat Moshe Rabbeinu, hi ha'ole al kulana. And of course, in terms of Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu was the first, the highest. Sha'amru alav Shechina midaberet mitok rono shel Moshe. That it's God speaking from Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. U'me'ein zeh, a kind of a similar level or a similar kind of status. Zachu Yisrael Mimahmad Har Sinai. B'nei Yisrael were on that level, the Mahmad Har Sinai. Now, what level is that? The level of Nevi'im. And before Nevi'im, the Avot. And the Avot were the Merkava. And Merkava is a place. It was this ability to create a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be found. Was something that the Avot had. U'me'enze, he says, I'm in the fourth line. Me'enze zachu Yisrael b'mamad har Sinai. They did it, B'nei Yisrael. They were like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They created a place. Rak shelo yachlu lisbol kimamar azal. Shall call the bur parchan nishmatam, that every time God said a word, they all died. Shehu inyan bitul b'mitziut hanal. They denied themselves reality. Lechein miyad amar lehem lasot lo mishkan. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them immediately after Matan Torah, make a mishkan, make a tabernacle. Uvo kodshei hakodoshim lashraat shechinato shehu gilui yichudo yitbarach. This level of achievement, of spiritual achievement that B'nai Yisrael had, they had to transfer it immediately. This is the Ramban, right? Remember the Ramban? Transfer it immediately to the Mishkan. Kimoshe katav lekam katavnu lekaman umishacharev beit hamikdash umishacharev beit hamikdash. And here he asks the question. So what happened? Mishacharev beit hamikdash. Ein laKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo mishkan umachon shifto hu yichudo yitbarach ela arba amot shel halacha. In other words, the place, this idea that it's possible to create a place which is more welcoming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that ability to create a place belongs to us, to Am Yisrael, that's what we call halacha. Because what the halacha does is distinguish between a regular and a kadosh, a regular one and a special one. So the halacha says that if I build a hut according to certain dimensions and with taking care about certain other things, what I end up with is a sukkah, but that sukkah is a makom. It's a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is possibly to be found. The same thing is true about an etrog, and the same thing is true about a matzah. The same thing is true about anything that is done halachically. So that's the Arba Amot Shel Halacha, the Gemara in Sukkah. So you see that the Balatanya, 800 years, not 800 years, 600 years after the Ramban said, look, we need that. We need the Mishkan. We need to have that experience of relating to God in a place. And even though God is every place, God is also someplace. And the someplace designated in the Torah is called the Mishkan. That's what it's called. It's called the Mishkan. The Baal HaTanya comes and says, well, what happens when the Mishkan leaves us? What about this idea that there has to be a connection to a place? So the Baal HaTanya says, he might say, the Baal HaTanya says, look, there's no Beit HaMikdash. But that doesn't mean that we haven't inherited the capacity to create a place for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that capacity to create a place for our Kodesh Baruch Hu exists through the halacha. I mean, that's what halacha is. You take a regular one and you make it a special one. You take a regular place and you make it into a special place. And we have the ability to do that. And that's why the Gemara is not embarrassed to call a Beit HaKnesset a Mikdash Ma'at. What do you mean a Mikdash Ma'at? Where does that come from? Where's that? Because a Beit Knesset is a place that's designated and it follows certain regulations and rules. Of course, today that's a little bit difficult, but let's ignore today. Hope for the best, so that the world, according to the Baal HaTanya, includes the capacity to build the Beit HaMikdash. Of course, we don't build it with walls. Kelim, vessels, but we build it with halacha. Every halachic building that we make is a mikdash ma'at. It's something special. It's a place where God is to be found. Ein lakadosh baruch hu ela dalet amos shel halacha. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says that. Where'd they get that idea from? What do you mean, ain't HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dalet Amos Shel Halacha? This Dalet Amos Shel Halacha create a space. And that space belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the Mishkan created a space. So that when Moshe Rabbeinu was informed, that it's not going to be the same. You're not going to be able to depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu leading you to Eretz Canaan. Your business seats are endangered. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard that, he said, I've got to do something. And so he did it on his own. He went and he built the Ohel Moed, his own Ohel Moed, an Ohel Moed that he could build because he had the experience. And then he was open to the Jews. The Jews all saw that there was an Ohel Moed in the world. And that perhaps gave them, the pasuk says, they all came and they collected themselves to see what was going on. Gave them hope. It enabled them to think in terms of the future. That was the Ohel Moed that Moshe Rabbeinu built. Of course, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the parshas of Vayakel Pekudei, go and build a Mishkan. Even after everything that's happened, build a Mishkan. Then Moshe Rabbeinu knew that his Ohel Moed was not necessary. And it all transferred to the Ohel Moed in the Mishkan. So that the Ramban teaches us that the experience of Har Sinai had to be maintained through an actual structure. And the Baal HaTanya teaches us that even after the structure was no longer possible, and we couldn't keep the structure because of the Churban, because of the structure of the Beit HaMikdash, it was nevertheless possible to create a space which was designated as divine, and to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that divine space. And we call that halacha. That's the point of the Baal HaTanya. Okay, thank you for coming. I'm going to try to do this again as long as we have to. Maybe we'll get to like it. Never tell, it might be something good that'll happen from all of this. Okay, all the best to you. Be well.